Welcome to the St. John Alive podcast. I'm your host, Alan Day, and we are excited today to be continuing our Lenten series on finding inner peace. And we are joined yet again today by a wonderful group of leaders from our parish. These two ladies participate in many, many ministries, but specifically they're here in the context of being leaders for our Great Adventure Bible Timeline. So we're joined today by Debbie Ryan and Nicolette Ellinghausen. And we appreciate you ladies coming on the show and taking the time to sit and chat with us. Would you mind taking a moment to just kind of introduce yourself to our listeners so that they understand a little bit of context of how you're jumping into the conversation?
Okay. My name is Nicolette, and I am, as Ellen mentioned, one of the leaders in the Bible Timeline study, and that has been an incredible adventure for me. I'm also involved with the Rosary Makers and with the Widows Group and Respect Life Committee. And there's other ones I'm just losing track of them. I've been a member of St. John's for about 4.5 years now, and I absolutely cannot say enough about what an incredible, dynamic, growing parish this is. There are so many opportunities. I just love it here.
This is a really wonderful community. Thanks, Nicolette. Go ahead, Debbie.
My name is Debbie Ryan, and I've been Catholic for about 3.5 years. We converted after being pretty devout evangelicals for over 60 years of our life. So we were very blessed and fortunate that as we became Catholic, that we were brought into this parish and into this community of Catholic believers. And it has been a very wonderful experience. So I've been involved in the Bible Timeline study as a leader, which has been wonderful. I've enjoyed that and been so enriched just studying the Bible now as a Catholic Christian. And it's been extremely enlightening and extremely fun to be with a group of people who are also on this journey of wanting to really dig into God's Word and learn. And so I'm the wife of Robert Ryan, and we have 8 adult children who we raised and homeschooled and are in various parts of the country. I've also here at church been involved in helping with the youth choir, which has been a great delight for me to help Freeman and to just kind of help the children with their singing and with just general maintenance in the choir, and I've loved doing that. Also, I've served and also been involved with Eucharistic minister, which has been very enriching.
That's awesome. Thank you so much, Debbie. Appreciate you sharing all that. So, ladies, we're diving in today to our Lenten series on finding inner peace, and I wanted to focus specifically on some scripture from the Gospel of John, specifically chapter 14:27, where it says, "Peace I leave you, and peace my peace I give you." And we're picking up on this theme from Father Jacques Philippe's book, specifically that peace is a gift from God, but that we often sabotage it. And sometimes we think that it is a reward for our hard work or our efforts, but really peace is a gift from God that we have to learn to kind of accept regardless of the circumstances. So I'm curious to start with, what are some of those moments where you feel at peace, and what are some of those moments in life where you feel not at peace?
For myself, I'm blessed to be retired in this stage of my life, and so I often tell people that it's kind of easy for me to feel peace because I don't have the pressures of the corporate world. I can get up when I want. I can, you know, my schedule is pretty much what I want. But a lot of those are exteriors, and as long ago, probably when I, even before I retired, I started going to retreats, silent retreats, weekend retreats, and I was able to find a lot of peace in those programs. So again, very natural settings, very quiet settings, silent retreats. So those are the things that the externals that help me find peace.
That's wonderful.
Yes, I can relate to that. Mm-hmm. Having been able to slow down a little bit with not having children in the home.
Exactly.
And life just being a little bit slower, it seems easier to find peace. Within that, I've just kind of found a little bit more just, I feel like I can be in touch more with the Lord. And when I surrender to what God has called me to in the moment, I do find great peace. I remind myself often of my purpose, and that is to give of myself. So even in the current circumstances, I mean, in the current situation of having less pressure, because I have 8 children around the country, and I love them, and I pray for them, and I think of them often, there's still a lot of letting go and not grasping to be had, a lot of waiting on the Lord. A scripture that I really hold fast to is from Isaiah that says, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." And I feel like when I'm in that place of truly waiting on the Lord in my heart and not trying to take things into my own hands, I have a lot of peace.
Yeah, I think what you said, not taking things into your own hand, that is absolutely key. The more you let go, the easier it is to let go.
Yeah.
The more peace you find.
Absolutely.
Yes, absolutely.
That's awesome.
Something else for me that's very helpful is listening to uplifting music and just basking in the words of music that glorifies God. The words and the musicality bring a lot of peace to me. Not all the time, because I also like silence and quietness. But at times, music is just, it's like a place where my soul can, it's like a sauna for my soul. Music is very, it's just, it builds, but it also brings peace.
What are some of those hymns? Because this keeps coming up in conversation. What are some of those hymns that or songs that bring you particular peace?
Oh, so many, if I can just think of them. Oh, wow. I just
put you on the spot.
Okay, I guess I can just, I could think of so many songs, even songs that the children sing in the children's choir are just beautiful. And I find myself after choir just singing them all through the day to myself. Songs about Mary. Be with us, Mary, along the way. Guide us every step we take. And it just helps remind me that Mary is with me, too, and I can feel and sense her presence. But hymns, so many hymns go back to my childhood, but I find them here in the Catholic Church as well. Just hymns like Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Early in the morning, my song shall rise to thee. There's a song right now that is we're just beginning to sing for Lent, and it's about ashes, and I can't think of what it is right now, but it's just a beautiful song about how we are in a place of putting on ashes, but then God is raising us up and bringing healing for us.
That's wonderful. So I'm curious, what are some of those moments in life where you might experience a lack of peace? When do you find yourself being most restless?
For me, I'd say, you know, there's, I lost my husband about 16 years ago. He died after being in the hospital for 4 months. And that was, I mean, when you experience something that deeply traumatic, it's hard to imagine peace. And even now, there's times when I still miss him. But then I look at my existing life without him, and I think if he were still here, I would not have this life. God put me in these circumstances for a reason, and hopefully I'm fulfilling, you know, the plan that he has for me. As I go to funeral masses, you know, you hear about the lives of the people and everything, and you think, that's incredible, you know, what a great loss it is. And you wonder, you know, why death is in this world. I would say if there's any single thing that can disturb peace, that would probably be it. Not to mention, you know, just news and society in general kind of thing, but those kinds of things. But again, I just have to put myself in God's hands and say, there's a reason for this. I certainly don't understand it. Thank heavens I'm not God, because I certainly couldn't run the world the way he does. So, I'd say, you know, trauma is probably the single leading cause or that takes me out of peace or challenges mm-hmm. peaceful moments.
Sure, absolutely.
I was thinking about that trauma and fear together can mm-hmm. really try to rob your peace. But I like what you said about when I really put myself in God's hands mm-hmm. and trust him, then peace returns. And we can maintain that peace. And it's not something that you do just once. You know, you put yourself in God's hands or you put that situation in God's hands, and sometimes you don't feel that peace right away. But you keep on doing it. You just keep on doing it. And it almost becomes a habit. Mm-hmm. Whenever that fear, anxiety starts to rise up, it becomes a habit of just, Lord, I'm putting myself in your hands. I'm putting this situation into your hands. Lord, let your will be done, not my will be done.
One of the ministries I'm involved in is the Divine Mercy Cenacle Group that meets the first and third Mondays of each month. And the core phrase from that, Jesus, I trust in you. Mm. There's times when I find myself, why am I anxious? Why am I worried? Why can't I fall asleep? And I'll just say that phrase over and over again, Jesus, I trust in you. Mm-hmm. And that simple phrase seems to just provide a whole lot of relief to my heart.
Mm. Yes, I have psalms and hymns like that, words that will come to me too in the night or at times when fear tries to rise up. Sometimes it's just thinking about the 23rd Psalm.
Oh, yeah.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want.
Yes.
Yes. And I think we could probably both recite that. But it's very comforting. It just covers so much. You know, even yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Just a reminder that he is with us through every circumstance.
That's beautiful. What are some of the other small habits that you find, other than, you know, prayer, that you find help you maintain inner peace?
One of the things I'd make a habit of, and again, I'm blessed to be able to do this because of my schedule, I have my hour of prayer, or a holy hour, if you will. Mm-hmm. And I kind of got into this habit after going to a program at the Maryville Retreat Center. And it was a program about Ignatian spirituality. And Sister Bernadette suggested an holy hour each day. And, you know, surrounding yourself, if you can, find a spot that's quiet and serene and doesn't have a lot of distracting noise, lights, whatever. And so my holy hour is typically 3 to 4 o'clock each day. I start with the Divine Mercy chaplet, and then I go to either Bible reading since I'm in the Bible timeline study. That's the time that I take to go over to prepare for that. And then I say the standard rosary, and by that time my hour's up, and I that's a daily habit of mine. And then morning prayer, and then evening prayer, and daily mass. Again, not everybody can do that, but if you can get little snatches of those times, you know, if you can't make a whole daily mass, you know, drop in. Matthew Kelly used to make a habit of just dropping in for 10 minutes at church on his way to work or school or whatever the case might be. So if you develop those habits, and you have to develop them, it's not something that comes naturally,
right?
It gives me peace.
Which actually is not as hard to do anymore now that Father mm-hmm. has the chapel.
That's right. Now we're open 24/7. What
yes.
a blessing. Oh,
yes.
My goodness.
It is a blessing. And those things are arguably attainable. You know, I am not retired. I would love to be retired. But I love my job. So, and I have 6 children and a spouse, and she is also working. And so there are a lot of distractions, and it can be really difficult to commit to those things. But we have found time and time again, when we prioritize it, we just make that choice. Mm-hmm. Things have a tendency to fall into place, you know, and because the Lord wants that for you. So he'll help you find the time and the space. And one of the habits that Genevieve and I have made a priority was getting to daily mass as often as we could. And it really started because of a conversation about our children going to mass 3 times during the week with mm-hmm. the school, and then also again on the weekends. And Genevieve was like, you know, we're not necessarily at peace right now. And we need to find a little bit more peace, and we need to dive deeper into that sacramental life like our children are doing. And so we just started with Wednesday Mass. She said, let's just go on Wednesdays with the all school Mass. And then that the next week grew into, let's go every day the school is there. And then it just turned into every day. And so now it's become a priority. Anytime she's not at work, she's with me. And I have the privilege working here. I have the privilege of being at daily Mass. So, you know, it was a difficult choice at first. And there were some having to grind uphill to get into that habit. But once we did it, now it becomes automatic. And I absolutely miss it if I have to duck out. Like this morning when I was preparing for this, I felt like I was betraying what we were trying
to
accomplish.
We robbed you of your peace. Yeah, I too enjoy and benefit from going to daily Mass. I don't go every day.
Sure.
Every day, some days are different for me. And I would like to go every day, but sometimes I just know it's not the time to go.
Right.
I have a daughter and son-in-law who have a child, and they don't live close enough to us to see every day. But often she will FaceTime me in the morning with our granddaughter. And it's just a special time for me to be able to interact with her. And so, you know, there's just times when I'll feel like, well, maybe today isn't the day to go to Mass, and then they'll call. And then I'll just know that this is where I was supposed to be. And we're all in different places in life. So I think, you know, my heart is to go to daily Mass when I can, and I am so blessed by doing it. And yet when I'm home and when I don't go, I know God feeds me there in his own way too. So some habits that I have come to just establishing are sort of, I guess you'd call them mental habits. And I don't do this perfectly, but just sometimes working on practicing the habit of not being offended by people and by situations.
That's really good.
And there's a scripture that comes to my mind often. It is from the Psalms. It says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. And like I was saying, I certainly don't do this perfectly, but because there's so many opportunities in life to be offended by someone else, or by some how someone treats you, or something someone says, or even how they look at you. But it's just bringing that scripture to mind. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. And that's kind of the goal to shoot for, and asking God to help me with that. Because as soon as we get offended about something, our peace is gone. And there's really no need. There's no need to be offended, because if we're putting ourselves and others into God's hands, then God can take care of it. And we can just have peace. And it's a practice. It's just a practice that I've really worked on. And even if there's someone who doesn't like you, or they're your enemy, I've learned that even your enemies can tell you things and help you with things that maybe your friends won't even tell you. I teach some group classes at a facility, and I have made friends with some of the students who come to my class often. And one of the students in the past, who always seemed to love my classes, but then she started critiquing me and telling me after class that what I was teaching wasn't effective and wasn't helping her and wasn't really helping anybody. And she wanted to give me all kinds of tips for being a better teacher. So this was really hard at first, and I found myself feeling offended, and I didn't want to hang around that lady very much. Who was criticizing me. But then, with God's help, I decided to do the radical thing and spend time with her and listen to her criticisms. Turns out, she was a very smart person with a lot of experience in what I was teaching, and I learned so much from her. And after a while, we got to be friends because I listened. And by listening to her and spending time with her instead of just shutting her down, I'm a much better teacher today, because of the tips that that lady gave me. We became friends, and the compliments started rolling in again, you know? So it's just something that God has kind of taught me on my journey, to have an open heart and an open ear, you know, for those who may be perceived as your critics or your enemies.
Sure. And I would ask, how do you find a balance in that? Because that can also be really difficult, in the sense that there's also this danger in social comparison, and allowing that to kind of steal our peace. How do you find the balance there between listening to constructive criticism and comparing yourself socially to those around you?
That's a really good question.
That's a really good question.
It is, and I think it's something internally that we have to, with God's help, develop. Mm-hmm. It doesn't just happen.
Sure.
It's like a muscle that you have to, that you've got to work on and flex and strengthen. And yeah, there's a time to draw limits. I'm not saying that you just let everybody just, you know, stomp you down. And, you know, there's a time, but I think it's partly just developing some of those virtues of patience and mercy, like we're learning in Divine Mercy, having mercy and realizing that, you know, sometimes people who are hurting you are hurting themselves and trying to listen, you know, beyond what they're saying. Listening beyond what they're saying to what is the root, you know, what is the root of that? And it does remind me of another lady that I had in one of my classes a long time ago who was extremely critical, extremely just complaining all the time to the point of being very annoying. And I did kind of shut her down. I mean, I don't want to hear all that. But one day I just got next to her. And she was complaining that I wasn't like one of the other teachers. So the comparison, why aren't you like, you know, so-and-so?
Sure.
And which was offensive, you know, because I was kind of a new teacher. And anyway, I kind of got next to her and I said, I am not her. I'm just not her.
Right.
I will never be her. I am me. And I have to do things within my own limitations. And, you know, I'm sorry that I can't be like her. But at the same time, I'm glad I'm me. And you know what? Just because I took the time to talk to her and explain a little bit kind of my feelings about it and told her, you know, it's kind of hurtful to me when you say that, the lady just opened up her heart to me and started telling me all about her pain and what she had gone through in her childhood and all of the hard, hard things in her life. I mean, and it just gave me a whole different depth of understanding, you know, of who she was. So I guess it's just about listening and caring and trying to let some of that stuff kind of roll off of us because you have to. You have to be willing to put up with people, with imperfect people, because I'm one of them.
Sure.
You know, and another thing, you know, my husband reminds me of sometimes when I complain to him about how someone is acting, he'll say, well, think of all the people that have to put up with you, which was a little offensive at first, but there's truth in it. You know, as soon as you start thinking about how someone else is behaving or their annoying habits, it's good to think about yourself and how many people are maybe having to put up with you too.
Sure.
And you don't even realize it.
And I'm glad you brought up the whole idea of comparison, because I think a lot of people are unhappy or don't find peace or can't get peace because they compare their lives or their possessions or whatever to others. And I learned early in my life that whatever, you know, maybe I don't have the best car, the best home, or the best clothes or whatever, but for all of those people who have better clothes, cars, whatever situations, there are even more people who are far, you know, worse off than me that don't have, you know, maybe even enough food to eat or, you know, shelter or whatever.
Right.
So rather than looking at those who have more and comparing yourself with that, you know, look at or pray for those who have less.
A good place to start with that is the persecuted church. You know, get some material or get online or find a place where you can pray for people who are persecuted around the world, like maybe start with North Korea, places where there is just such pain and such persecution and such bondage and oppression, and start following those people and praying for those people. And it helps you to not be just focusing on your life and what you wish you had and just thinking about how, like what you were saying, how there are people that are in such way more dire circumstances. And I think any time that we can get our eyes off of ourselves and be reaching out to others, you know, giving away to others, it that brings peace in and of right. itself. Just going to a nursing home and spending time with someone there and just finding ways to give yourself away, it really takes away from, you know, the discontent that can try to be stirring up within.
Yeah, absolutely. I was listening recently to I'm a little bit of a secular self-help junkie. I find it entertaining to listen to a lot of that content and then turn and apply the concepts to our spiritual journey. And so I was listening to a book recently that it was essentially saying that everybody has problems. That's a pretty common truth. But he was saying everyone has problems and your life circumstances just dictate what those problems are. And it doesn't matter how much or how little you have, you're still going to have problems. They're just going to be different. Yes. And I find that comparison game frequently steals my joy because, mm-hmm. It's very easy to compare, mm-hmm. especially in our daily life as we're driving down the road. Like you said, Nicolette, it may be a comparison of the vehicle you're driving or the clothes that you're wearing or where and how you're spending your time. And, you know, and so it's very easy to just dive into that game mentally. But then when you think about it and you have those discussions, like I'll talk about this with my spouse all the time. My wife and I talk about this and we both come to a very quick conclusion that, yes, more money would be more convenient, but then we would have to maintain that lifestyle. That's how we restore our peace in that comparison game. We just let it go because we know the Lord has us exactly where he wants us. And we know that our decisions have been driven by our desire to serve him rather than to serve ourselves.
And you mentioned that earlier when you talked about finding time for daily mass, priorities, mm-hmm. Prioritizing things, prioritizing your activities, mm-hmm. prioritizing what you're going to watch, what you're going to listen to,
Absolutely.
The activities you engage in.
Right.
And, thinking about comparison, of course, right away comes to my mind social media.
Uh-huh.
Because, of course, there's so much good on social media. I am very enriched by just the multitude of edifying podcasts,
sure.
which have helped me to grow a lot in my faith.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you start getting on all the platforms and seeing everyone and their lives, it's just so easy to compare. And, of right. course, you know, people put their best out there. You don't see their necessarily, I mean, a lot of people anyway, put their very best foot forward. And you only see the good parts of their life. You don't even see the struggles, which yeah. is, then it's easy to conclude that they don't have any struggles. So right. why do I have struggles? And all those people out there are living the life. And so it's very deceiving. It's just so deceiving. And I think that's something that I'm very selective about where I go and what I do on Facebook and Instagram. I mean, I like to, you know, kind of take a peek now and then and
right.
see, you know, there's certain people that I follow that I, and even my kids, but I'm just careful and I guard my heart while I'm doing it and remind myself often that this isn't necessarily reality.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. It's a very interesting dynamic to have to manage some of those resources, but also have such a personal frustration with it. Like I actually try to stay away from social media because of that exact thing. I realize that as I'm flipping through and I'm scrolling through, my anxiety is just going up mm-hmm. because there's this constant sense of comparison and why don't I feel the joy that I'm seeing in social media? And the reality is if I posted my highlights reel, you'd probably think that I was in that category. But
one thing about social media too, though, especially if it's people that you know and you follow, and you know that there's a tad bit mm-hmm. of imbalance there, but I think it's another discipline to learn to rejoice with others, to rejoice. The scripture
Absolutely.
Tells us to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. And mm-hmm. it's kind of a good exercise when you are on social media and you see someone's success or their prosperity to just discipline your mind away from the envy, away from the jealousy, and just ask God to help you to rejoice with them. And there's people that I follow, you know, that maybe early on I might have thought, well, they don't deserve this, you know. How come they have this and that? But it's like, praise God. You know, God has blessed them. I'm happy for them.
Right.
They have things I don't have, but, you know, I probably have things they don't have too.
Sure.
And it's just to learn to discipline ourselves and to just push away that natural tendency toward envy. And it's a discipline. It doesn't come easily, but I think, again, with the Holy Spirit, He can help us to do that. And it's a joy. It's a joy then. And when you do something often enough and you discipline yourself, it becomes more natural.
Right.
And then you're happy. Like, that is peace. That is peace. It's not peace to go around feeling envious and jealous of people. It's right. just not peace.
Yeah.
And I mean, who wants that? Like, who wants to have that kind of toxicity within? We would all rather have peace and joy. And I'm finding I can really get peace and joy from other people too.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be my own right. success.
And this actually kind of lends itself to the next question, which is, where do we draw that line between finding joy and peace in external circumstances and finding peace just from God alone? Because it is sometimes easy to say, when we're in a season of plenty, to say, oh, the Lord has blessed me, and we find peace in that. But how do we draw that line and say, even in a time of struggle, that the Lord is continuing to bless us with this gift of peace? How do you draw that line, and how do you differentiate between those two circumstances?
I think the older you get, the easier it is to do that. The reason being, you've had experiences that time and again have shown you that it is in God's hands, and when you leave it in God's hands and don't try to control things, things work out. When you control things, and again, going back to my life in corporate world, when I tried to control things, timelines or projects or whatever, that's when I had the greatest sense of anxiety or stress. And so when you do let go, that's and leave it in God's hands, that's when you find peace. And it's not in the externals. It's just a sense, an attitude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
That's a lot like what I had been thinking about, that authentic peace is when we really put something in God's hands and leave it there, whether it's a situation or our whole life. You know, we exercise agency, God-given agency, to be able to say, thy will be done in situations that are beyond us. So, it's I understand what you're saying, because it can be a little confusing about, is my peace coming just because I'm happy in the situations, right. but, or is it really internal peace? And it's going to be different for everybody, but lately, I think I actually find peace just meditating a little bit on my own mortality and the fragility of life. And I mean, that might seem morbid, or it might seem, why would that bring peace? I don't think when I was younger it would have.
Yeah. Age matters.
Age matters, yeah.
Hang in there.
Yeah.
So what you ladies are saying is there's no hope for me until I get older. I'm just going to be lost.
And another scripture that I love to think about sometimes, it says, for he knows our frame, he remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. For the wind passes over it and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. And then it goes on, the steadfast love of the Lord is everlasting on those who fear him. And just, I think, realizing how short our lives are compared to eternity, mm-hmm. it kind of puts things in perspective. Like, well, does it really matter that much that your neighbor has a better car than you have?
Right.
You know, for the moment, you know, yeah, there might be a little jab, but this isn't like, this is an eternity. This is just right now. And I think it's just really good to think about eternity, to think about it in the midst of our busy lives, to always keep eternity in our hearts and in our minds.
Yeah. It's actually not as foreign a concept as you might think. When I was in college, I was introduced to a bunch of people who had that conversation, contemplating death, right? And just understanding, putting your life in the context of eternity, you know, and understanding that this is a passing phase and season of our life. And the conversation went to the spiritual sages that actually contemplate their death while lying in their coffins that they have purchased during their life. And mm-hmm. I thought that was absolutely extreme. And I was like, there's no way I would ever do that. But there are people out there that do it. And in fact, I had a friend and mentor of mine actually ask if I would help handcraft his coffin for him so that he could do the very same thing. And it was a little too dark for me at the time. I might be able to handle it now, but I don't think I was mentally or spiritually ready for that. But yeah, it is a really key thing to be able to think about your death and the passing.
And to accept it.
Yeah, exactly.
And not fear it.
100%. Yeah. And to understand that, you know, the things that we do and say here are, in a worldly sense, they're trivial, because if everything's not oriented toward that eternal life, then you know, what's the point? You know, mm-hmm. And that too comes into play when I'm having these conversations about comparison and things like that, and how, you know, what actually matters. And I think about my children growing up, you know, because they're little now, but they won't be forever. Mm-hmm. And everyone keeps telling me, you know, hang on to those younger years and enjoy them, because they'll fly by. And that's actually one of my biggest fears, is I'm going to wake up one morning and realize my children are adults, and I will have spent their entire childhood trying to chase things that weren't valuable or important to us growing as saints together as a family. So,
and just being aware of that makes you far ahead, you know, in the game, just that you even think about that.
Yeah. But it also, that also is a point of anxiety. So I, when it comes to finding inner peace and understanding those things, it really is a struggle to not just then be anxious about that thing and that process and wondering, you know, am I walking the line or have I crossed it, you know? But in those moments where we know that we've made a choice that's oriented toward heaven, those are the moments when, even if things are difficult for making that choice, that we do find peace in our house and in our family and in our relationships, for sure.
And just seeing our children as gifts, that they're gifts that God has given us for a season.
Right.
And yeah, it's a beautiful season, and it's a privilege to have those children there and to give your best to them, but then also to know that another season will come. And I mean, I just find peace in thinking about the seasons of life, which is one reason I like living in Michigan. Because we see that, you know,
the
visually.
Seasons differ.
We see the seasons, and it's just a reminder of the seasons of life too, mm-hmm. that, you know, that we go through. And in the case of those who have children, you see that season of them being little and then older and leaving the nest, and then the new season that God brings is no less. It's no less wonderful.
That's true. That's very true.
And you get a whole lot more sleep.
Yeah, I'm sure. So what is one thing, ladies, having kind of just explored this topic and this idea, what's one thing that we can do daily this coming week to cultivate more peace? Maybe something that's different than what we've done previously.
Again, we talked about the daily habits that you have, daily habits in prayer and daily mass and things like that. And we are blessed to be in this parish because we do have so many opportunities made available to us. And whether that is something as simple as Debbie was saying earlier about, you know, listening to soothing music. It doesn't have to be hymns, doesn't have to be religious, but something soothing, something that has value in the lyrics, soothing music, you know, maybe classics or whatever. And again, just... The single thing I keep going to is just, Jesus, I trust in you. And a lot of the things that we talked about earlier about, you know, recognizing that this is just a time in our lives. And this too shall pass. If you're having problems, whether it's health problems or relation problems or whatever it is, there, you know, it's in God's hands, it's in God's plans. And you may not see the plan, you may not understand the timing, but that's not your role in life. Your role is to, you know, accept what God has given you and to accept it. I mean, it's again, it's easier said than done sometimes. But if you can work on that, develop those habits to work on that.
I will say that's one thing that I've always struggled with when someone offered that as a supposed point of consolation in time of struggle. Oh, it's all a part of God's plan. And the frustration for me was that I could never see the plan.
Right.
And I've actually learned over time to just accept the fact that I'm not ever going to understand the plan. Exactly. and I've become okay with that, because the one thing I can have confidence in is that regardless of what happens, the Lord can and does redeem all things. If we put them in His hands and allow Him to do exactly that, He'll bring fruit from even the worst suffering. And this is something I talk about with the youth all the time during youth group, and we look to Christ on the cross and we say, if that's not proof that Jesus can bring, or that God can bring, I pointed up there, there's no crucifix, it's behind me. It's usually, there it is. If that's not proof that God can bring fruit from the worst suffering, I don't know what other proof there is, you know? because Jesus is who he says he is, and he did what he said he did. And in that point, we can take the greatest hope. And just reminding myself of that every day mm-hmm. has been an extremely helpful tool in maintaining peace, for sure.
Yes, and that reminds me of something that I was thinking about just looking at every situation as something that God has allowed. And ask him what he wants you to learn from it. And again, that's just a little exercise to think of it that way. A few years ago, my husband and I had a really tough situation that we had to face together. It was very emotional and painful, and it plagued me a lot of emotional pain, and something I never dreamed of. And then in the middle of this ongoing, emotional, difficult thing that was happening, I got kidney stones, bad kidney stones. And I mean, I had to be rushed to the hospital like two different times in the same month and stayed there for a couple days, had minor surgery, all kinds of meds. It was something very unexpected that came along. And one day as I was laying in the hospital bed thinking, I just can't believe this, you know? And, I just started thinking, apparently, God is trying to teach me about pain and suffering because I'm experiencing both emotional pain and physical pain here. Sure. And I have really no control over that. And I let myself cry a lot. And, you know, I asked God a lot about what was going on. I felt like life had spun out of control. But as I started to just embrace it, emotional and physical pain, I realized that God was breaking up the hard soil of my heart. He was breaking up the hard soil of my heart. There's no better way to say it. It was the early stages of our journey towards Catholicism. It really was. And I can't, you know, completely explain that whole sequence, but I was laying in the hospital listening to Catholic podcasts, even though I wasn't Catholic, which was unusual, and kind of enjoying them,
sure.
which was a practice I continued after I got out of the hospital. But it was just one leg of the journey, you know, all that pain. And then, you know, it happened, and then it happened again. It happened a second time. I was back in the hospital again. But, you know, each time it felt like I was going deeper with God, just trusting him in this immense pain and this confusion. I mean, I had a part-time job at the time, which I ended up losing because I just couldn't be there. But all in all, looking back at it, I can just see the hand of God in that whole situation. Of course, it's a lot easier looking back than in the middle of it. But I think the thing in the middle of it is just the trust, is really trusting God, you are here somewhere in this. You are walking with me. Mm-hmm. And we're going to get through this. And you know, what are you going to teach me here? And to me, that adds an element of excitement or adventure.
Sure.
To just trust that there's going to be something at the end that you're going to learn. Even it might not be right away at the end. It might be a few years down the road. But he's there.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate you ladies taking the time to sit here and dive into this topic with us. I appreciate you, your insights and you sharing your journey with us. It's been an absolute pleasure. So again, thank you, thank you, thank you. And thank you to anybody listening to this episode. We appreciate you tuning in. We hope that this has been of some benefit to you. And don't forget to tune into our next episode where we invite some of our school staff in to share their insights on a similar topic, similar idea from kind of a leadership perspective. So definitely don't forget to tune in for that. And once again, thank you ladies for your time. And we appreciate you being here. And we will see you all in the next one.